Good afternoon, everybody. So nice to see everybody. I wanted to begin, as almost goes without saying, dedicating this year to those who lost their lives in the violence that we saw starting on Shabbat, and not just to those who lost their lives. We'll talk about Yom HaZikaron, of course, today as well, and Kiddush Hashem. But we should all be thinking about, all the Toshvei HaDarom, the people who for so many years have lived an intolerable, existence, and the children who, are traumatized. It's a really terrible, terrible thing. And, you count the casualties of war, in terms of people injured with physical injuries, and again, as we spoke about people, the four people who lost their lives, but it goes beyond that in ways that are very difficult to measure. And just to share very briefly, again, because this is really just the introduction, but somebody who I think people here in the room might know, she grew up in Great Neck, but married somebody from Teaneck. Her name is Shana Goldberg. She worked at Mayanot and so Yoetzet in the community as well, and made Aliyah just under a decade ago. And I think something that really brought it home to me is she writes often from an immigrant's perspective to Israel. So of course, with the confluence of Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron, with the Tzvira, meaning the siren that goes off, where you're supposed to stand still, with the sirens that require one to run for shelter. So she wrote this week, and it's really heartrending that her daughter asked her, just to remind her, "Mommy, please clarify which is the siren where I run and which is the siren where I stand still." So we just have to have an appreciation of the suffering, that is very hard to measure. I titled the shiur, and thanks to Joanne for sending out the title. That's always a point of departure for us. So titled the shiur, Kiddush Hashem, Our National Mitzvah. As with much of what I say, I owe this one to the Rambam as well. So the Rambam began his discussion of Kiddush Hashem very early on in the Mishneh Torah, which is, I guess, part of the point. He really front-loaded a discussion of Kiddush Hashem, and he begins a discussion in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perakei Halacha Aleph, by noting, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. That expression of Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire house of Israel, is a very telling expression. It only appears three times in the entire Chumash. It only appears three times in all of the literature of the Rambam, and it always signifies something of a national commitment. So just by comparison, the two other times where it's mentioned, just so that we get the idea, is in the context of the Birchos HaTorah, V'yanachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzeinu v'tzei amcha. So the Rambam's version is Kol Beis Yisrael, Yode Shemecha v'lomde Torah Techel Lishma, and obviously Talmud Torah is a defining mitzvah. The other time the Rambam has it is Kol Beis Yisrael in the context of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and going to shul and saying Slichos, and of course, that also reflects a national commitment to do tshuva during the Yamim Noraim, one which is honored by Jews of all different levels of observance, but, there are... one can look at this critically, but one can look at this just in the opposite point of view. There are people whose, shul life is, the high holidays. It continues to be observed by Kol Beis Yisrael. So, Kol Beis Yisrael has an opportunity and a responsibility to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to glorify the name of Hashem, which itself is kind of remarkable if you think about it. A big part of our faith tradition is a sense of reverence and awe, and a recognition that the yawning chasm, as I like to call it, between God and us, is literally immeasurable. It's not a quantitative difference. Not that we could say, God is, this far away or, that much greater, right? But that, there's a complete, qualitative gap between us and Hashem. And yet, at the same time, this is this remarkable idea and powerful sense of responsibility that the things that we do, v'nikdashti b'toch v'nei Yisrael, can impact perception of God, and that could be a very positive thing, Or, God forbid, it could be a really negative thing. V'lo techalalu et shem kadshi. So the fact that, like, you know, we can, you know, impact, you know, in one direction or the other, should not be taken for granted, right? It's, thank God, so part of, so much ingrained to us as part of our educational system. Make a kiddush Hashem, don't make a chilul Hashem, so that maybe we do take it for granted, but we shouldn't, right? You could imagine, the opposite argument and, you know, the idea that, you know, God is just so far above, you know, human considerations of any kind, and yet that, you know, our faith tradition has emphasized precisely the opposite point. Okay, so let's begin, you know, min hakal ul hakaved, sorry about that, types of Kiddush Hashem which are available to us on a daily basis. So the Rambam concludes that chapter. I just started by quoting the first line of the chapter by talking about this. He's citing from a Gemara in Yoma and Daf Pevav, but he does it in his own very beautiful way, where the Rambam talks about, you know, people who conduct themselves in a very honorable way and with a great sense of personal integrity and with a great sense of dignity and compassion for others, these are people, the Rambam believes, who are Mekadei Shem Shemaim. Now here, the Rambam notes that the Kiddush Hashem depends largely on the context. And what he means by that is not whether or not it's in front of 10 people, which is usually the standard that we use. What he means is a very important point. That if a person is associated with Torah by virtue, let's say, of their knowledge or by virtue of a position that they hold, and they conduct themselves in that way, so that's a massive Kiddush Hashem because the person is automatically associated with Torah. So let's say somebody, you know, just to give a very prosaic example, somebody wears a yarmulke, right? And they're very, very honest. They have a lot of integrity in their place of work. So that brings glory to God's name. I'm just giving, you know, an example. It applies, of course, equally to both genders. Kol Beis Yisrael, it's men, it's women. Some people even think children, which is a whole discussion in its own right. And the Rambam there notes, you know, the more, and this is just, you know, something that we can intuitively recognize is true, the more a person is associated with Torah, the greater opportunity for Kiddush Hashem and the greater risk of Chilul Hashem. There's a reason that the Gemara says if a person feels like they're not able to control themselves and they have to sin, they should, you know, go very far away from where they live and, you know, dress in black and, you know, change their name, etc. You know, because we don't want to. It's bad enough to sin, but it's worse to create a Chilul Hashem. So that type of Kiddush Hashem is available to everybody. And I just note in parallel, because it's this week's Parsha, the Ramban speaks about a different variety of Kiddush Hashem, which is available to everybody, based on the first pasuk of this week's Parsha, Kedoshim Tiyu, where the Ramban famously disagrees with Rashi and says this doesn't only mean to abstain from sin, that's Rashi's view, is to abstain particularly from sexual immorality, but the Ramban says, by living a life of moderation, in terms of how we eat and what we eat, how we speak to other people, our engagement in the carnal world writ large. So the Ramban says, by, you know, having the soul, you know, master, you know, the body in this dual existence that we have, we can achieve greater levels of Kedusha. And that, of course, is something that would be criminal not to mention this week. And then one final, you know, version of Kedusha, which is available to us on a daily basis, to round out this triad. Again, the Rambam's version, again, which again, it basically has to do with integrity and humanity. The Ramban's version, which is triumphing over the aesthetic and carnal dimensions of life and acting in moderation. And the third is, of course, by performing any mitzvah. The reason that we say bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu, that we believe that every mitzvah that we're given is an opportunity for us to achieve some greater level of sanctity. And that's an important byproduct. Now, we'd have to do the mitzvah anyway, it's nice to think about the sum, you know, being greater than the, you know, collection of the parts, in a sense that, you know, it's not just that one is accumulating, you know, more points, if I could use a crass expression, but one is actually achieving a greater level of personal Kedusha. So that type of Kedusha is really important. That type of Kedusha for ourselves and being Mekadei Shem Shamayim by extension, those are year-round themes and year-round topics. But of course, this week, as we are focused so heavily, as is warranted, on Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzma'ut, we could talk about Kiddush Hashem from a different perspective. Of course, Yom HaZikaron is all about people who have been Mekadei Shem Shamayim, and this, of course, is, a very tragic thing. We prefer to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim through how we live, but they've been Mekadesh Shem Shemayim by giving their lives. And anybody who dies, of course, because they are a Jew, or in defense of other Jews, the expression which we find in our rabbinic literature is "Ein lamala mima alasan." There is no higher station that a person could possibly attain. And so the nearly 24,000 soldiers that we'll remember, on Wednesday, and all the victims of terror, four of which, were added to the list, right? You know, it's an ongoing issue. And 56 chayalim since last Yom HaZikaron. This is something that, of course, represents, in a certain sense, the highest form of Kiddush Hashem. That goes without saying. But there's Kiddush Hashem on Yom HaAtzma'ut of a different variety that I wanted to discuss as well. And here I think it bifurcates into two different areas. The Kiddush Hashem of Yom HaAtzma'ut, I think, can be described. This is how Rav Amital Zatzal used to always speak about it, based on Psukim in Sefer Yechezkel. The Haftorah that we actually read for Parshas Parah, so we read it relatively recently, from the 38th chapter of the Navi Yechezkel, lays out a very fascinating premise. And the idea is that God has attached his fate, so to speak, in this world to the Jewish people. And so that when the Jewish people are downtrodden, it reflects poorly, in quotation marks, on God, right? That was, remember, Moshe's argument after the golden calf. So Moshe says, if the Jewish people are going to be destroyed, what will people say about you? That you're incapable of, defeating, the various gods of the Canaanite nations, etc. Lama yomur Mitzrayim lemor bera'a hotziyam larogosam beharim. And there, the Navi Yechezkel says it in, if he hadn't said it, we wouldn't be able to say it, but he talks about the return of the Jewish people to our ancestral homeland in exactly these terms. Lo lema'anchem ani oseh beit Yisrael. I am not doing this because you deserved it. I am not doing this for you. Ella lishmi hagadol. But I'm doing this because of my name. That God was, required to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim himself, so to speak. And so the return of the Jewish people to our ancestral homeland to reestablish our sovereignty after so many centuries and millennia of oppression was itself a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and is an ongoing Kiddush Shem Shemayim, a sanctification of God's name, in as much as, and this is something that Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote about extensively in his essay on the topic, Kol Dodi Dofeik, that the suffering of the Jewish people throughout the ages was taken as a sign that either God had abandoned them, or, as I alluded to before, that God was somehow impotent. And the redemption of the Jewish people from the condition of suffering was, of course, something that would add glory to God's name. I don't have to remind anybody here that a major part of Catholic theology was the doctrine of the witness, which means that the suffering of the Jewish people is itself testimony to the fact that, as they would put it in Latin, Veritas Israel, the true version of the Jewish people, 2.0, was, of course, the church, which had supplanted the Jewish people as the chosen people. And, in case anybody had any doubt, just go and look around. They're impoverished, they're oppressed, and it's obviously a self-fulfilling prophecy. With every pogrom, you can further the doctrine, so to speak. But the redemption of the Jewish people, lo lemanchem ani oseh beit Yisrael kim lishmi agadol, asher mechulal ben agoyim, that's a very important point, and that's part of the Kiddush Hashem of Yom HaAtzma'ut. But of course, the Kiddush Hashem of Yom HaAtzma'ut really transcends that, because the Kiddush Hashem that is potentiated not only by individual Jewish people, and this is where we started, in aggregate, doing very positive things and acting with integrity and acting honorably, the idea of a nation state. Which reflects values and can be a source of blessing for the entire world, is a Kiddush Hashem, on a massive, massive, massive scale. So, to pick some obvious examples, when there are these natural disasters and, Tzahal is sending units to the four corners of the earth, to lend their expertise to alleviate human suffering when people and countries find themselves in dire straits. So this is a massive Kiddush Hashem, because it's not just this individual Jewish person, who is acting with great humanity, but the nation state of the Jewish people, right? So it's not just like quantitatively greater, because there's X number of millions of people, living in the state of Israel, but it's a qualitatively different magnitude of Kiddush Hashem. I think that's an important version in its own right. And it's not just natural disasters, but for those who are aware, let's say Mivtza Shachein Tov, Operation Good Neighbor, with a horrible civil war in Syria, is untold, human disaster and tragedy. We'll probably only know many decades from now how many hundreds of thousands of people were really killed and millions of people dislocated. But I think something like 600,000 people were killed, and I know that we of course compare everything to 6 million. I'm not belittling that, but 600,000 is not like a small number of people, the vast majority of whom are just regular civilians. And so quietly, the Northern Command, the Pikud HaTzafon, had set up a system whereby people could come to certain spaces near the border, and they'd be brought into Israel for medical care. They were taken care of and sent back. And, obviously this is on the dime of the Israeli taxpayer. So it costs something, but, what you're accruing is not just doing the right thing, which it certainly is, but is, just this massive Kiddush Hashem. Whether or not the world chooses to recognize that, and whether or not even the direct beneficiaries will go on to appreciate that, it of course is a reflection on the values of Am Yisrael, which have been preserved throughout the ages. And when the state of Israel acts in accordance with the timeless values of the Jewish people, that is a Kiddush Hashem. So of course it applies in these kinds of natural disaster scenarios and human disaster scenarios. But I think the Kiddush Hashem of Yom HaAtzmaut and the state of Israel can be expressed in one final way as well. We know that Avram was told that his descendants, it's us, would inherit the land of Israel. He was equally told that it wasn't, for the sake of being chauvinistic or like somehow that we could be then superior relative to other people, but that we could be a catalyst for blessing for the entire world. V'nivrchu v'cha kol mishpechos ha'adamah v'zarecha. So when you have a sovereign state that is very deeply involved in all kinds of advances for humanity, and you have again people operating within that context, whether it has to do, with advances in water, which by the way, the state of California dealing with their drought, brought in consultants from Israel in terms of dealing with drip irrigation and other methods that were pioneered in Israel. Whether it has to do, of course, with developing new medicines and advancing basic science in ways, the applications, we don't even know yet how these things will play out. But all of these things, of course, advance human society at large. And improve the quality of life for people all over the world. And that itself, the vehicle of the state has potentiated that, at a scale that it would simply be impossible if we didn't have sovereignty. And so, Kiddush Hashem, to circle back to where we started and to begin to summarize and distill, Kiddush Hashem is really our national mitzvah. We're all individually meant to walk around with the consciousness that everything that we do is a reflection on our people and on the God of Israel. And that's an enormous privilege and also an enormous liability. Everything that we do that's dishonest, God forbid, or immoral, or crass, or worse, can very much be taken as fairly or unfairly as a representation, of our Torah and He who gave the Torah to the Jewish people. We all have opportunities every day for Kiddush Hashem through mitzvos, through humane interactions with others, personal integrity, and as the Ramban noted, by conducting our own very private lives in such a way that reflects the triumph of the soul over our carnal instincts, even as, of course, we believe in striking some kind of a balance between the two. Yom HaZikaron in particular presents Kiddush Hashem of a very particular variety, that is Kiddush Hashem, which is achieved when a person dies as a Jew, in defense of other Jews, Ein Lamala Al Ma'alasan. And then finally, we talked about Yom Ha'atzma'ut as an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem as well. First and foremost, because sovereignty is defined by the Navi Yechezkel as itself a Kiddush Hashem. After all, we're no longer downtrodden and persecuted amongst the nations, one. But as I try to go a little bit further than that, the idea that the institutions and organs of the state could themselves be responsible for blessing, not just for our own people, but for people all over the world, is a fulfillment of the divine mandate that was given first to Avram Avinu in the context of his inheritance of the land. And in that respect, there's enormous spiritual significance, not just, again, political significance, not just the question of, you know, being a haven for Jewish people. All that is very important. But that's, you know, I think, from a spiritual perspective, secondary to the opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, which is, as we started, and with this we'll conclude, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh, the entire house of Israel. And the founding of the state of Israel has potentiated Kiddush Hashem on scales that really, you know, we were not able to achieve for many centuries and even millennia. And that alone is, of course, reason to celebrate the great Kiddush Hashem that we will once again this week have the opportunity of celebrating the 71st anniversary of the birth of our beloved state of Israel, of course, all made possible by the Kiddush Hashem of those who gave, to quote from Lincoln, the last full measure of devotion in making the state a possibility.